Okay, today 18 February, 2016. We are still early. Two more minutes to go. We wait for the rest. Then, in the meantime, there is a blue book, the new latest transcript book. Thursday class have not received them. So, those who still haven't got a copy, you can collect. It's on your seat. This is based on the direct transcript from the recording done during the meditation class conducted on the 13th August 2015 at Thursday class, Brother Suyan and Mifong House. The title of the book is Important Meditation Instruction Needed to Understand the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. This is a very, very good book, a very important book, and the English is much better. So this one, we should thank Lily. Her English very good. Then later, Suyan told me she's an English teacher. No wonder. And I find the editing very simple, very easy for me to do, because she did the transcript more or less word for word, verbatim. And she know my style. Then she helped clean up a bit, because her English was good. Then I read through, I no need to listen to the recording again, because everything was very clear. I can recall what I said. Then the condition arise, then I just smoothen the language, the flow and all those things. So that's why this book, I think so far, I have read until page 17. So tonight I will continue from page 17. We started off with Wu Ping Jing Se. Wu Ping Jing Se, I cover 13 pages. Then when I come to Tuesday class, we can only move 4 pages because a lot of things to discuss. So tonight hopefully we can cover more. So if you have not received, do read through. The instruction for meditation is very, very important and make very clear under this talk or this sharing. So if you read through, it will help you tremendously. It will bring you back to focus so that you are very clear about what are the things you need to do to train your mind, to develop the meditation. Then later on, there is another book, Q&A, yellow copy I didn't bring. Understanding, awareness, with every breath you take, every thought we arise, and every movement we do in cultivation. Okay, maybe we can get ready for puja. So tonight, who is going to help light out the candle? Amiao is one of them. She is new. Maybe Mifong, you help Amiao to do it. Then you got how many candles? Two. So the two of you. Okay. A lotus. So three. You can choose one more.
How many?
There's one incense. Okay, two of you. Enough. Two of you like enough. Amiao, you can choose the lotus or the incense. Brother Song off the fan. Okay, we all stand. Never mind. Pass to me four. The three first, the three. the significance of the three important offering items. You pass on to her song, it's okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Amiao, Amiao, Amiao didn't hold this. Go. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Mifong Lugia. Never mind, the fruits. Fruits. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 The sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Thank you. Yeah? On the fan, the, both the fan at the back also. Oh, now my parking, parking light. It's a parking light. It's okay. Yeah, siao. It's a parking light. It's okay. Okay, just relax yourself, maintain some more attention, then we can start. So today is still within our Chinese New Year. We haven't passed the Chok Gome. I think today, if I'm not wrong, the 10th or 11th day, I don't quite remember. 11, so I would like to take this opportunity to wish you all a happy and prosperous Chinese New Year. Gong Xi Fa Chai. Then let us welcome the year of the monkey 2016 with a wholesome mind, with a good heart, with a kind heart, then with a good mind, so that you all can develop the cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma to realize a good and noble wish as soon as possible. Then after that, when you have the Dhamma, you can be a blessing to all. So I wish you all the best. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This year, Dhamma will move very fast. If you have faith, you are sincere and diligent, you will benefit a lot. Especially this coming retreat. Many of you is going to progress. Okay, so tonight, we will continue with our puja chanting. Maybe for the benefit of one or two who are new, especially Amiao. So just now the puja offering was for us to develop the spiritual faculty, especially faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Then when we sadhu means we rejoice with the offering, with the generosity, with the wholesomeness of all who understand the significance of this puja. Then all these puja items, they have great meaning. So after we will chant and develop the wholesomeness, then we will make the aspiration based on our understanding of their significance. They are all in the transcript book. So if you have time, do read through the transcript book and listen to the recording. It will help many of you. When you are here, unless you have your cultivation, your special past cultivation affinity, is not easy for you to grasp most of the thing that is being spoken or discussed. So a good way to develop the stability and understanding of it is to listen to the recording again. Then don't stop that people has done the transcript. You must read through slowly to develop the clear understanding. If you cannot understand, make a note, then ask during the class so that I can explain. Okay, now we turn to page 4. We will commence the puja chanting. Before that, we will pay homage, the usual Theravada tradition. Okay, compose your mind. Develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then we will commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will start the vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujani yang pang puja bajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata itang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang. Okay, turn to page 18. We will do the Puja aspiration. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and douses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, which is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, born free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect, Triple Gem. Let's do it mindfully. Bhutang Pujimi. Tamang Pujimi. Sanghang Pujimi. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have our meditation. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, maybe you can start. Then for a few, one or two who are new, maybe I will just explain a bit. I have to get the five hindrance and five spiritual faculty chart. So yeah, you get for me. Put them on the whiteboard. Okay. According to the Buddha, the reason why living being cannot develop the peacefulness of mind, the meditative mind, to develop the meditation is because they have these five mental hindrance that hinders their mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. That's why their mind has this mental hindrance that cause the mind to be heedless. The mind thinks a lot, wanders off very fast, lashes on to sense experience, create thought, stir the mind, become emotional. All this arises because of mental hindrance born of sakyadity or self-delusion. So the Buddha knew that this is the problem. That's why he teach the five mental hindrance. They say there are five things that hinder you. Sensual desire, ill will. Then sloth and torpor is sleepiness of mind. The fourth one is restlessness of mind. When your mind has problem, when you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, this restlessness of mind will arise because the mind that worries and fear and problem, they will develop the restlessness. Then according to the Buddha, the last one is doubt. Last of the five hindrances is doubt. When you are not sure, you lack confidence. That's why you become doubtful. You are not sure why life is like that, why a lot of things doesn't go your way, how come there is so much problem in the midst of existence. So all this, human beings get themselves entangled. So we are here to develop the opposite five, we call it the spiritual faculty, to counter the mental hindrance, so that your mind can be peaceful, can be more calm, can enter the meditative state of inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then the inner awareness or mindfulness will arise when the mind is silent, when there is no more thought. So meditation is to develop this spiritual faculty. There are also five spiritual faculty. The Buddha called them the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then the virya is a spiritual zeal after knowing who the Buddha is, how wonderful his teaching is, and how special a being he is. You will develop the spiritual tenacity and zeal to go and learn his teaching, to cultivate what he has taught you. So that spiritual zeal is an energy that will drive you to cultivate. Then when you have spiritual zeal, you will not be sleepy, you will be very diligent. Then together with the faith, your mind become very calm and very composed. That's why it can overcome most of the hindrance. Then the third spiritual faculty is sati. Sati is mindfulness. To be mindful is to be aware before the knowing. When you are without thought, you are already mindful. The moment you are silent, you are already mindful. So don't try to be mindful. Just relax, silent. Then mindfulness is already there. Then when you stabilize this mindfulness, it will become samadhi. Samadhi is the fourth spiritual faculty. It's the unwavering mind collected. Then when you have sati and samadhi, your mind become very different. There is clarity because there is no thought. There is just the silent mind. This silent mind can see things as they are. That's why they can insight into phenomena and awaken to their characteristics of nature, their impermanent universal characteristic, their suffering characteristic, and their non-self or empty nature characteristic. So you will be able to awaken to them. That's how wisdom come about. Then when you can see things as they are, you're not deluded, then you develop right view, right understanding. So when the five spiritual faculty fall into place, you can meditate easily and very naturally. Okay, now we're off the light. Then I will give some simple instruction to train your mind. For those who are not developed in the spiritual faculties, your hindrance will be there. So I will teach you a skillful mean. We call it the mind sweeping method, combined with loving kindness and metta. When you do this, it will help you decondition your heedless thinking. Then your mind will develop inner peace, inner calmness. Then when you radiate metta, it bring about inner well-being. These are the byproduct of meditation. Then as you silence this mind more and more, sati will develop, mindfulness will develop. Mindfulness can also come about when you do your bowing. You do your puja, you do with understanding, you do it mindfully. Whatever you observe, you develop the mindfulness. It's all explained in the blue book, the transcript book. And there's another earlier book also. Understanding the meditation is taught by the Buddha, also blue color. Both these books you read, you will understand. So you don't have to remember anything. You just listen attentively and make use of it to meditate. Okay, relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. If you cannot sit on the floor, you can sit on a chair or a couch. Or you can just lean against a wall and straighten your leg. It's up to you. You can meditate in whatever posture that is comfortable and suitable for you. Those who can do the lying down, they can also do the lying down meditation. Those who can sit, you can sit. Relax body and mind. Breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then silence everything. Try to make sure your backbone is straight. Then maintain attention at the forehead. Just feel, don't think, just feel. If you detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within, just silently relax, relax and relax them all. Feel your forehead muscles soothingly relax. Then move your attention to your eye muscle, do the same. Relax all of the tension and stress within your ciliary muscle or eye muscle. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle, each and every strand, feel and relax, feel and relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Then in order to assist you to relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, your facial muscle will relax naturally on its own. To smile, you need to have a joyful mind, a mind that is happy, peaceful. That's why when you can radiate a radiant smile, that joy will bring forth the relaxation. Then you can recite following me, radiate metta or loving kindness to yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel your entire body and mind, your entire being. Then be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cell of your physical body, your entire being. Then you can repeat this one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May my mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then we can radiate this same metta to all your loved ones. May all my loved ones too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their mind state still be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can relate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhanjaya, known and unknown, seen and unseen, together with all Kayanamitas, our Dhamma friends, co-meditator and cultivator, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we extend this loving kindness and metta to all beings. May all beings throughout the whole of Subhanjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe or existence. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful. May their body and mind to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind stay still, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You just feel, relax them all. Then you move your attention down to your neck. Feel, relax, don't think, just feel. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Then move your attention down to your heart area or chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is also the location where the seat of consciousness resides. The life force arises and passes away within the seat of consciousness. You just silent everything. Just feel, don't think, feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silent everything and stay there. Be with the phenomena. If you are new, not sensitive, then it's okay. You cannot detect. But you can feel your heart area, like you feel your forehead. Feel it soothingly relax. Whatever tension that you can detect or stress within, you just soothingly relax, relax and relax them all. Feel the entire heart area soothingly relax. The relaxed state will bring about a good mind. Then after that, you continue to move your attention down to your stomach, feel relaxed. Then move it down to your abdomen, also silent everything, feel relaxed. Then you move it to your buttock, feel relaxed. Then your leg, do the same. You can reverse this whole process. Leg, feel relaxed. Buttock, feel relaxed. Abdomen, feel relaxed. Then stomach, feel relaxed. Then move on to your heart area, feel relaxed. Then shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, relax, feel and relax. Then facial muscle, feel, relax them all. Eye muscle, do the same. Then forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you should try to maintain this tranquility state or quiet state of mind, peaceful state of mind. A good way to stabilize it is to have a skillful means to anchor this mind so that it does not wander off. So that it does not heedlessly think or get lost in thought. The Buddha teaches skillful means. He say we can anchor it to our breathing. He call it anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. So what you do is you feel around your nostril area where you breathe in and breathe out, just feel like you feel your forehead feel. The moment you detect your breathing, you allow the mind and the breath to move as one. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just do this exercise. Initially, if you are new, you may not be able to do it because split second, the mind will wander off. But don't worry, be patient. Every time it wanders off, bring it back, bring the attention back to the nostril. Feel, then allow the mind to follow. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Breathe in and breathe out naturally. Just continue to cultivate. Expect the mind to wander off many, many times if you are new. But if you are patient, sooner or later, not long, sometimes within 5-10 minutes, you can get it. And the breathing become very natural. When there is just mindfulness without thought, the breathing become very soothing. Then it will transform into long breathing. Then the breathing will calm you down. Breathing in, experiencing piti. Piti is a meditative calmness, spiritual rupture or spiritual joy. When the mind is without thought, mindful, peaceful, then piti will arise. Then breathing in, experiencing piti, breathing out, experiencing piti. Then continue to train and relax your mind until this anapanasati become very, very stable, until the mind and the breath move as one. Then you continue to relax into every mind state. Then sooner or later, this piti will become more and more refined. Then it will accumulate into what they call sukha. Sukha is a spiritual bliss. You will feel the blissfulness of this anapanasati, the peacefulness that comes with the very smooth flow of anapanasati. Then when the bliss comes, your breathing will become very different. You will become like very much more subtle, more quiet, more peaceful. Then as you continue to relax into it, this sukha or blissfulness will also transform. Then the mind become very quiet, very still, tranquil. The Buddha called this mind state Vasati, or the silent mind. And this is the meditative mind. This is your true mind. When you hit this Vasati, you just relax and silent everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just relax, silent, and stay there. Then if you want to anchor to your heartbeat or what you can, or to your breathing also you can. When the mind is in sati, it has this ability to stabilize and become pasati, which is the tranquility or stillness of mind, the silent mind. So when this pasati arises, you just relax and silent. And this is a mind that can meditate. So use this mind to meditate. Then you will understand many things. Okay, I'll let you train your mind. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. These are the mind state with the spiritual faculties, especially sati, mindfulness, that you need to use to live life, to go into the daily life, to cultivate the real meditation. The real meditation is your ability to be mindful in the midst of life throughout the day, which is the daily mindfulness. That way you can stabilize this mindfulness until you are ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then you become heedful. And according to the Buddha, the moment you train your mind to be heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 21 very clearly states that. Okay, now we will continue with our Puja chanting, second part. Turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In the universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajas Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Itti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manosanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akariko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato
สาวกสังโฆอาหุนิโยปาหุนิโยตักขิณิโยอัญจลิกรณิโยอนุตรังปุญญเกตังกาสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุOkay, we pay respect, Tripajam. Then we end our puja. Badang pujami. Damang pujami. Sanghang pujami.Okay, you can be seated. Now we will continue your second session. Second session normally is reporting on meditation followed by Q&A. So tonight, anybody wants to report meditation and ask any question? Anybody?Don't have, good. We go through the blue book. Like I explained before we start just now, this blue book, the transcript book, is very important. This was based on the Dhamma recording of the Thursday class we had last year, 13 August 2015, held at Brother Sui and Sister Mifong's house, so the same venue.I put in the title as Important Meditation Instruction Needed to Understand the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, because that night condition was very conducive. Somehow all this important instruction came out, so you had to go through. Because I have Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday classI cannot be repeating every class, otherwise it will be too slow. So what I had done is, on the Sunday class I started, I finished page 1 to page 13. The preface and introduction you have to read yourself. Then after that, Tuesday class, we only managed to finish 3 more pages, I think up to page 16. So now I will continue from page 17.Yes. I forgot to mention, just now when Lily hasn't come in. So you read the introduction and the preface, you will know. This transcript was done by Sister Lily and Puan Chi. Both of them actually volunteered to do the draft transcript. But I like this one because this one, I think Lily did a very good job. She was able to actually do up the transcript very well. And I don't have to listen to the recording again, because when I read through, it is like very familiar. These are the exact words I used. And I think the reason being, I was told by Suyuan, she was an ex-English teacher. That's why she was very good. Thank you, Lily. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.Then also she has been listening to my Dhamma talk very seriously with a lot of faith, and diligence. Then she understands many of the Dhamma. So I couldn't even find one word that was wrong. So the whole thing was so good. Then I find it very easy to just maybe...develop the smooth flow of the language. And I like this language flow. This particular book, when I read through, it's very smooth. No more of those colloquial dialect language. And the style of English that we used to have in our earlier transcript, I think is very different. This one, you read through, you know, it's very smooth. So let's turn to page 17. Okay. I finish off the first two lines, then after that, the next paragraph. I will continue from there. So, the first part describe how to develop the puja, how to develop mindfulness and all those things. You have to read through, very useful. Then after that, the meditation, the instruction and all those things. Then we reach the point where after anapanasati, what will happen? This is the continuation. When piti arises, you know what piti is, isn't it? What is piti? What is piti? Spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Oh, some people call it spiritual rapture. When your mind is peaceful, mindful without thought, you will experience this piti. It is a very soothing mind state. Especially first time when you experience them, there is this joy within, born of a peaceful mind, calm mind. Because first time you experience it, it's like very good. But later on, as you become more skillful, then you realize actually this one is still quite gross. But it's just like good food. You haven't tasted before. If let's say small town you come out, first time you eat those good food, wow, even the not so good one also like very good, where you haven't tasted it before. I still remember in my hometown last time, every New Year only I get to go to this dim sum restaurant with my father and parents and brother sister. Once a year we go there for dim sum. So that time I look forward to that dim sum every year, because the siu mai, the what you all call what? No, the chicken with the lo mai kai, then the tai pao. So those are the things I. First time I eat, I didn't know it was so delicious. Then later on, when I came out to work, after I graduated, then I got my first month pay. Then I remember that shop. I say, this time Chinese New Year, go home, I'm going to eat there. But when I was in PJ working for a few months before the Chinese New Year, I had this opportunity, even while training, to eat some of the good food. Then when I went back to the same restaurant, when we order, I was so surprised. How come last time I find it so nice? And then that time, because there is something to compare, it's no longer what it was. The all those things like very, very difficult to eat already. So when your taste bud get accustomed to better and better experience, then all those become like grosser. Not really what you think. But if you have not had good food before or any of those food before, because last time during the 60s and the 70s, you know, in our hometown, most of us, our food are very simple. Very simple. Mother cook one, or home cook they call. So piti is the same. First time you experience it, it's like, wow, fantastic mind state. Then you like to meditate. But after you repeat a few times, you find it no longer special. That's why you must understand all this. You cannot attach. The Buddha said, if you attach, then you will have problem. Because like good food, after a while, no more special. Then what happened? You go and look for better one. Better one. Then you keep on chasing after all this good mind state. That's what energy field, calmness meditation is all about. It's like drug. Keep on wanting to find higher state, better mind state. But you have to understand the Buddha Dhamma is unique in the sense that it is to develop wisdom, understanding. Wisdom is the only thing that liberates your mind and free your mind, not all those fantastic meditative mind state. If it cannot bring about wisdom, it has got no meaning. It's just a conditioned state. You can experience all those fantastic state, all those various mind manifestations, but it doesn't bring about any permanent transformation in you or wisdom in you that enable you, that can enable you to understand life, live life, and liberate your mind. Anyway, I will read on, then you will understand. When pity arises, you should continue to relax into it. Always remember, don't cling, don't hold, don't look forward for it to be repeated and all those things. You just relax into it, silent, then see what happens. Then, if you do that, it will become more refined and it will transform into sukha or bliss. And this bliss, if you continue to relax, it will become paucity, like I explained just now, which is another enlightenment factor. And this is the silent mind, the meditative mind. And when you hit that state, you only need to stabilize it until you can carry it, means that mind state, forward into your daily life to do your daily mindfulness. Then you would have achieved your goal of being heedful throughout the day, because that paucity will make you mindful naturally. Your mind, which is already in sati, has developed paucity. When your mindfulness is very stable, then the mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, so still, and so tranquil. And that is the silent mind. And that is paucity. They call it tranquility or stillness of mind. The mind doesn't move. That's why when you meditate until there is no more breathing or your breath or any other object of meditation has become very subtle, don't go and do the sitting and touching and all those labeling again. Just silence everything. Then the true sati will come about and stabilize. Then paucity will arise. And when paucity arises, it means your mind is already in sati. Understand? When your mind is already in sati, it means what? It is already mindful. Understand? That is the meditative mind. So don't go and labor again. Don't go and stir it again and disrupt it. Then everything you do at the moment of sense experience, after that, when you come out of the meditation, you will come to realize this. Be it hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, or even seeing, there is sati. That's why everything after that, when you arise out of it, every moment of sense experience, the hearing is in sati, the seeing is sati. Means what? The awareness and the phenomenon move as one. Oh. Means all of the sense perception, the mindfulness is there. That's why every moment of sense experience, it is in sati. And that is paucity. That is the mind that is ever mindful. Then you become very different. Throughout the day you are mindful. And you can use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. There's a heedfulness in the midst of life can come about. So this paucity is what you have to train and develop. I actually developed it myself. That's why I came to know. Initially, I didn't even know what this thing was, because I meditate until my mind was so quiet and so still. Then they asked me to do sitting touching. I cannot. I just silence everything and I just relax and do it. Then all of a sudden I realize this mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, so still, so sensitive. Wherever I locate this mind, I can detect everything very clear. That's why when I go to the subtle breathing come back. Then I locate at the heart. I can detect the heartbeat and all those things. Then all the vibration. Then it becomes very sensitive. That's why when the mind is in sati, it's very different. Then later on, as I come out of it, I realize all my movement, action, all very mindful. Then when I hear something also, that mindfulness is there. When I see something also, the awareness and the thing move as one. Smell also same. The awareness and the thing as one. Then I realize everything become like synchronized. So that type of mind is very different. That's why it's ever mindful, the silent mind. That is what paucity is all about. Then I read on, you will understand. Then everything you do at the moment of sense experience, be it hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, or even seeing, there is sati. That's why you will see with mindfulness, hear with mindfulness, smell with mindfulness, taste with mindfulness, and feel with mindfulness. Even when you feel something, silent, no thought. Like the blue book, the first one, when I say feel, the floor. If you think, you cannot feel. Because you are lost in thought, you are not sensitive. But when you silent, then that sensation goes into your hand. You feel it very clearly, hot or cold or whatever. It's very clear. And your thought that arises is with awareness within. That's why you can see your sankhara, your activity of mind, your aggregate of mind. Then you can be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of contact, at the moment of consciousness, at the moment of perception, arising of thought, activity of mind, all those things will become possible. So you can become heedful throughout the day on your own naturally. That is what pasati is all about. That is what the silent mind is all about. That is what the meditative mind is all about. That's how heedfulness becomes natural. Tonight sharing is very good and tonight sharing is a very good and important summary. I believe it's recorded because I saw Brother Suyan press the recorder and the red light did come on. So you don't have to worry about the theory anymore. Just go back and listen to this recording. Then you will understand. Tonight, I don't know what created such condition for this very important summary on meditation to be recorded. Now we are off the light for you all to start your meditation. I will give you some simple instruction on how to decondition your heedless thinking. So all this, 4.1.4, simple instruction to decondition your heedless thinking. Yeah. I will read through quickly, because this is what I have taught you all almost every session. Relax body and mind. That's why I said don't remember. Don't try to remember. Don't even try to write notes, because it's all here. Make sure you have a stable posture. You cannot sit. You can lie down or lean against the wall and stretch your leg out. The key to successful meditation is to be able to relax body and mind. Body and mind must harmonize for you to develop the meditation. Relax means no more stress, no more problem, no more tension. You just allow things to be. Whatever problem that your mind conditioned you to think, you can tell the mind, please have mercy on me. I will deal with all this problem after the meditation. For the time being, please, allow me to have the space to meditate, to train my mind, so that it can bring about inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness, and inner well-being to my body and mind. Your body and mind can then recuperate and return to good mind state. Your immune system will also improve and your mental hindrance will cease to be. This is how we start our meditation. Then recall to mind all the great loving kindness and compassion of Lord Buddha and absorb them all into your mind state. If you have faith in Kuan Yin, you can also recall to mind the great loving kindness and great compassion and wisdom of Kuan Yin to develop the inner peace, inner well-being and inner joy. Then you just maintain silence of mind. If this cannot make you peaceful and silent, if you still got thinking and mental hindrance, then I will teach you another skillful means, which we call mind sweeping method, to help you decondition your heedless thinking. Relax body and mind, maintain a stable posture, check your backbone, make sure it's straight, then relax. The key thing is relax. Then maintain attention at your forehead to just feel and don't think. Wherever you feel If there is any tension, any stress, or any tightness within, you just relax them. Relax, relax, and relax them all. Then you move or sweep your mind down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel and relax. No more thinking. Just feel, relax, then move it down further to your facial muscle. Again, feel and relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax every strand of the facial muscle. In order to assist you to relax more, you can combine it with loving kindness or metta meditation. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you will have joy and happiness, which will naturally relax your facial muscle. Then after that, you can radiate metta following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. As you recite, you must feel and mean it. Means not parroting, means feel. Feel the inner peace, the inner well-being, and the joy and the happiness. Then you can continue, may I, this body and mind of mine, means you feel your body and mind of yours, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cells, bodily cells within your form and mind. The inner well-being and inner peace leading to the inner happiness and inner joy are very important. Then continue to read it as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state dual be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts, or your heart. Then you continue radiating to your loved one. I will skip this. Then to all beings within vicinity of Subang, known and unknown and all those things, you just go back and read through. Then to all beings throughout the entire existence. Then next page, second paragraph. Then you can come back to your facial muscle, just silence everything and feel, don't think. Feel and relax every part of it. If you can feel any tension, tightness or stress within, you just relax it. Relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention to your neck, feel and relax, shoulder, feel and relax, hand, feel and relax, don't think, just feel and relax. Then you move your attention to your heart area, silence your mind to feel around your heart area. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and stay there to just maintain awareness. But if you are new and you are not skillful or trained as yet, and you cannot feel anything, that's alright. Then it's alright. You just feel and relax every part within, just like how you feel your forehead and relax the tension, tightness and stress within. Just feel it soothingly, relax every part within your heart area. When you are without stress, you are very relaxed and you are very peaceful. It's just like when you are doing your facial for ladies, or when you are having a good massage or spa. But that one may be different because you didn't maintain awareness. You are relaxed like when you do your yoga and all those other exercises, but you didn't extend it to include development of mindfulness from within. After that, you can continue to move on to feel your stomach. Again, you feel and relax every part. Then your abdomen, silence your mind to feel and relax every part of it. If you are using the rising and falling of the abdomen as your object of meditation, then you just silence your mind and feel around the abdomen area. Don't go and look for the rising and falling, just silent. And the awareness will detect the rising and falling phenomena. Let the phenomena awaken your awareness. Let the phenomena tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story or the phenomena. Then you continue to relax, silent, and move down to feel your buttock. Again, you relax. Then feel your leg. And relax. the problem with most of these people who do rising and falling, they are taught to note. They look for the rising and falling. The mind actively look for that thing. Then they go and visualize it, conceptualize it, rising, 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 falling, falling, and all that. That is not sati at all. No verbalization, nothing, just completely silent. And then you really, really detect the rising and falling. Because even though I did an apanasati long time ago, 24 years ago, there was one night when I was doing the lying down meditation. Well, my mind was so sensitive, then I give it a try. I move it down to my abdomen. The rising and falling was so clear. And everything was so clear inside there. That's why you can do mindfulness on anything within your kaya. Then I went into very deep mind state. But no point, all those are conditional rising state. But I want to understand and try it so that I can teach people later on. Otherwise, no point. Otherwise, it's only theory. But because I went in and I did it, then after that I realized all these are formal meditation condition state. The real wisdom cannot come out because the calmness become very strong, very still, very quiet, very tranquil. You have to come out into daily mindfulness, relax, develop the free mind state. So in the midst of daily life, you can maintain heedfulness. And that is the real four foundation of mindfulness. Sati Sampajana or Satipatthana cultivation. So all this you will come to understand. Okay, I read on. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method from your leg back to your forehead. Again, you feel your leg and relax. Feel your buttock and relax. Feel your abdomen silent and relax. Then stomach, heart area, shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle. Feel and relax every part of it. Because you only feel and relax, there is no thinking. See, this is how you decondition your thinking, heedless mind. Hence, this mind sweeping method can help you decondition your heedless thinking because you just feel. And when you feel more and more, the momentum for thinking actually slows down and disappears. You know what that means or not? You know what that means or not? You remember this analogy? Let's say you are thinking. You think and think until it become like habitual. Then your thinking become automatic, you know, cannot stop on us. But once this one, let's say, you feel, you don't think. Like this one, no more momentum. Understand? No more momentum. You want to start to move this one, you need a lot more energy. Understand? When you want to start to think, you need a lot more energy. Like that day, I remember, Mifo was at my house. She was trying to describe certain state that she went through. Then because it was so still, so quiet, so aware, he went into those state. Then he said, well, you want to come out? He find that he cannot just come out like that. Because when you are in those state, the momentum for thinking is no more there. So you have to come out. And develop the connection to the thinking mind, the mundane mind. That's why you need to connect back. That's why she said, like, take a while before you can become conscious again. Then during that time, the thinking all cannot start immediately, like very slow, like little or no thinking. Then you realize after you have deconditioned it, the mind is so different. That's why when you transform from a heedless way to a heedful way of living life, your mind become very different. The thing that you can understand and do, normal people cannot understand. You say you can just silent, don't think. They say you crazy. I got one classmate told me, he said, how can don't think? He said, the thought keep on coming out. He said, you cannot do anything. I said, can. You just silent. He said, cannot. Then he just laughed. Then I also laughed. Because if people has not developed this understanding, they cannot understand because they use their thought so rampantly until they are so heedless. Okay? So this one, decondition the heedless thinking, you start to understand. When you just feel, don't think, over a period of time, especially 20, 30 minutes, you do that, then it decondition the heedless thinking. Then the mind becomes very quiet, still. Then it takes time before it start the thinking process again. But because you have been heedless most of the time, that's why the moment after the meditation, the thought all come back to you very fast. Because you haven't stabilized it, you haven't developed capacity. Okay, I will read on. If you got any question, you can put up your hand and ask. Then you will have more and more moments of feeling, little or no more thinking. Then you move on to your eye muscle, again feel and relax. Then do the same for your forehead. By now you should be calmer and more peaceful, because there is little or no more thinking. When you hit this state, you can stabilize it through anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. You just silence your mind and develop attention in front of your nostril, just like how you feel your forehead. You just feel your breathing. Then follow the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. You then maintain this training. But if you are new, not skillful as yet, then chances are within split second your mindfulness or awareness will be gone. You are lost in thought. But don't worry, be patient. Every time it wanders off, bring it back to maintain attentiveness or attention on the breathing, or develop awareness of the breathing. Just maintain attention in front of your nostril to detect the breathing. If you are patient, if you train long enough, it will stabilize. Anapanasati will stabilize. Then you will experience the spiritual calmness or piti, which I explained earlier on. When there is sati without thought, you will experience this piti. See? The moment you are without thought, this piti will arise. Then if you relax deep into it, it will experience sukha, spiritual bliss. You will also experience the entire long and short breath and all the various mind state within anapanasati. It becomes like very clear to you. There is a lot of thing inside that one in-breath or out-breath. There is a lot of clarity. A lot of thing inside there. But most of the time you are not aware. Then later on the subtle breathing also same. You can detect, like there is a long movement inside there. Very subtle, but you can detect it. You will also experience the entire long and short breath and all the various mind state within anapanasati. You continue to relax deep into it until it becomes very subtle, quiet, peaceful, and very still. Then the silent mind, which is the meditative mind or opacity, will arise. When you hit that, you are in the state of meditation, and this meditative mind can allow you to understand many things. Then you just silent, relax, and maintain awareness within your form and mind. Then every movement, every activity, and every moment of contact within the sixth sense door, you will come to understand them very clearly. You will understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and you will also start to witness all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha had taught. You will see clearly the whole dependent origination, the 12 links within your own form and mind. You will start to witness the Four Noble Truths, the 7 factors of enlightenment, and the 5 spiritual faculties. Of course, in between, off and on, you will also experience the 5 mental hindrances and the 3 evil roots of mind too. Then you will understand them very clearly. You can reflect and contemplate deep into it because you will see all this in your mind states, especially the mental intention behind, the mental intention that has all these evil roots. As these evil roots are the roots of all evil, that's how they make living being evil. Since the 3 evil roots are the roots of all evil, you must root them out from your mind state. The hindrance too, the latent tendency, the anusaya, the habitual tendency, you had to root them out through understanding, through wisdom. So this is what meditation is all about. Okay, with this, I will let you develop the meditation on your own. Then I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes. This one really good. Then we have that meditation, 15 minutes of silent meditation. Then ting, ting, ting. This one was very nicely put. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner mindfulness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Because these are the mind states that you have trained and developed. So you have to have the ability to use them so that you can be constantly aware and heedful throughout the day. So that this mind state can be re-established when you go back to your daily life. See? You have to stabilize it until very stable. When you move back to your daily life from here, maintain your awareness. As you arise, maintain the awareness of all movement and all action in the present moment, including all of your turnings, your stretching and blinking of your eye, etc., your hand movement, stretching, bending, etc. Always develop awareness of them. Then everything that you come to perceive through your field of vision, hearing, etc., you have to maintain awareness. You know how to do that. When you have mindfulness, you're just silent and aware. Then this awareness will move with the phenomena. Even the vibration, everything, they will become like one, synchronized, understand? The awareness and the phenomena become like one. Even the vibration or everything. The hearing is very different. There's so much clarity. You are with that moment. You are not distracted by anything. There is no chattering or verbalization or views and opinion to react to what you hear. Most people who are healers, the moment they hear something, the perception come already. Noise, vibration, sound. Then why this fellow like that? The moment you do that, you cannot listen already. You are not listening. There is no awareness of what is going on. That's why Krishnamurti definition is very important. Choiceless awareness means do not make choice. Do not react, do not stir. Then everything that you come to perceive through your field of vision, hearing, etc., you have to maintain awareness. When you are attentive and aware, you don't think. This is the understanding. When you are attentive and aware, you don't think. It's like you want to be very aware, middle of the night. You silence everything and focus, attentive on your hearing consciousness. So when you are living life, the moment you are without thought, you are attentive. You don't think, that is key. And you will become beautiful. Only then is there the possibility of establishing heedfulness in daily life. Only then can there be real progress towards cultivation of daily mindfulness in daily life. Cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path is to be carried out in the midst of our daily life because all of the Noble Eightfold Path factors are concerned with our daily life. If you cannot be mindful in the midst of life, you cannot develop heedfulness. Because heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's the reason why the Buddha used the word constantly meditative and ever mindful to define heedfulness. So if you still cannot deal with your habitual tendency, your heedless thinking and heedless stirring of your mind, keep on creating duality here and there, then forget about four foundations of mindfulness. You are not heedful at all. You cannot cultivate. That's why heedfulness is ever mindful, silent. Most of the time, silent, aware. Then the nature just understand and move. That's why there is so much clarity. Because that mind that has sati and samadhi, seeing as they are, no more from the thought, no more from the conditioning, no more from the views and opinion. Human beings see with a lot of concept, views, opinion. Your memory keep on telling you things. Your views and opinion keep on conditioning you to comment, judge, react, and do all those funny things. That's why that type of mind cannot meditate. Because it is heedless. Think a lot. Stir with all the wrong view, everything. That's why you must be heedful, mindful, without thought, just aware. That's it. And the understanding will come, it will insight on itself. Okay, I go on. Invocation to the devas. This one no need. Turn to page 6, we have done. Then Ingbi help us to do the Pali. Then, actually, Lily put it very well. Summarize everything we do, chanting of Vandana, Buddha Vandana. But summarize until very nice. Very good. I really like this transcript. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then number 5, meditation, reporting, and Q&A. This one is very good. Okay, you can be seated, then maintain some form of attention. We will continue with our second session, which is reporting on meditation, followed by Q&A. Then there is also one more thing that I need you all to pay attention to. When we chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, which is the triple gem, you have to reflect and contemplate deep into their meaning. They will be of great help to you as you progress along the path of cultivation. Because if you don't even know what this triple gem then the question is, how can you take refuge in the triple gem without understanding what they are, true or not? A lot of people, Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Ask them who the Buddha is, what is the meaning of Dhamma, Sangha, semua tatao. Then you take refuge in what? Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. But what are they? Don't know. you cannot do things like that. So that's why when we chant the salutation, the Buddha explained clearly what are the meaning of this Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Regarding the Dhamma, we have dealt quite a bit into its meaning. Even the Buddha, we have dealt quite a bit into its meaning too, but not the Sangha. So that day, I try to explain the Sangha because most of the time we didn't go into the Sangha. The 9 great virtues of the Buddha, you know. Then the characteristics of the Dhamma, Svakato, Bhagavata, Dhammo, that one all we gone through many times. Like, well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And what are the characteristics of the Dhamma? The Dhamma is Sanditiko, Akaliko, Ahipasiko, Openiko. So you read the English translation, they are all there. So you need to understand what constitutes the true Dhamma, the characteristics of true Dhamma. If you meditate, and you think you enlightened, or people certify you enlightened, you better go and check the characteristics of Dhamma. If you don't have this Akaliko, Sanditiko, or open ego, then you see you enlighten. That Thai enlightenment is not Sakyamuni Buddha taught one, something else. So you have to understand clearly, if it's not something that has this, what they call characteristics that the Buddha mentioned very clearly. You use thought-based meditation, then you see you have those beautiful mind states or special experiences or equate to enlightenment. But that itself is thought-based, not akaliko. Akaliko is timeless, beyond time, beyond thought. But yours is the product of thought, and you see that enlightenment. So a lot of people couldn't really understand that very powerful characteristics of the true Dhamma. Okay, I read on. The Sangha, you have to reflect deep into it if you want to understand. Sorry, if you want to listen to the explanation again, you can go back and listen to the last Tuesday class recording. You have to go back. Huh? There were conditions then for me to proclaim and expound it very clearly. These are the noble qualities of the orders of the Buddha's enlightened disciple, which is the third gem, the Aryan Sangha. That's why when you read the transcript, especially the Pali words, you have to understand them. The word Savaka is there, Savaka Sangho. So these are very important understanding. Supatipanno Bhagavato, then Savaka Sangho. This one is always repeated. You know what is Savaka, isn't it? Yeah? You know what is Savaka? No? Yeah? sound here, very good. Savaka are the sound hearers, those who awaken via hearing the Four Noble Truths or Sutta as expounded by the Buddha. So these are the Aryan Sangha. That's why they are enlightened beings within the order of the Buddha's disciple. So Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho means this Sangha, the Aryan disciple of the Buddha, they have four great qualities. They are of good conduct. They conduct themselves very appropriately, very wisely, and they have good nature, very good nature. That's why our good conduct is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So when you chant Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, you must understand the meaning. Then you meditate until you don't have all this quality and conduct, upright conduct, good conduct, then you say you're enlightened. Oh, you be careful, the ego mind is still very strong. Then Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, again, Bhagavato is the blessed one. Savaka Sangho are the Aryan Sangha, the sound hearer, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then what is Ujupatipanno? They not only have good conduct, they are very upright in their conduct, and they never deceive, cheat, or try to act out of it. They are very righteous, very sincere, and very truthful in every way, in every activity that they do. That's why our upright conduct means they never cheat, they never deceive, never develop cunningness and all those other negative things. And they are very virtuous. So you understand, Ujupatipanno. So you still got cunningness, deceitfulness and all these funny things. You are far from enlightenment. You still got the egoic mind, to cheat, to take advantage, to deceive. That's why the characteristic of the Sangha, the Aryan disciple, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, these four great qualities you must have. Then the third one is what? Nyanya patipanno. Nyanya means what? Nyanya. Near to the word nyana. Wisdom, yes. They are very wise. Nyaya is from the word jnana, which is wisdom. Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho is repeated. So the third quality is they are of very wise conduct. they are very wise. That's why of wise conduct is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. That's why these four pair of beings, they are very virtuous, wise, and beautiful. Yeah. Then Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, this is the last, the fourth virtue, meaning of dutiful conduct is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. They still do their duty towards the law of nature. They take care of their responsibility and duty very mindfully. Because even though they know this is non-self, that is, he know you, he know me. But there is such a thing as law of karma within the conditioned world. That's why they still understand that there is a form of mind that has to come. And this form of mind that has to come is still subject to this nature's law of karma. That's why they do their duty, so that this form of mind, when it comes, it will have the appropriate causes and conditions to become beautiful. Because like what the Buddha explained, all living beings, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. That's the reason why my teacher always said, right duty is right dhamma. You know which teacher? The Thai one, Thailand Achayantra. He very good. He always said, right duty is right dhamma. If you know how to do your duty well, means you have dhamma. Because you don't go and think deludedly, like what I share with some of the committee members that day at my house. You simply go and think, hey, the Buddha say non-self, Brother Teo say non-self, I didn't kill anybody, you know. Then you go and use all those funny things to justify your action and all those things. You don't kill, but this form of mind got karma. When you are using this form of mind to act, you cannot use ultimate truth. He know you, he know me, I didn't kill anybody. You go and try. Law of karma come after you, understand? I didn't cheat you, no. Because you don't exist, no. He know you, he know me. No. You go and tell that to the judge, I tell you, put you in jail straight away. That's why you cannot justify through all these crooked means. That's why all the enlightened disciples, they have this understanding. They are not so crooked and so cunning. So all this you have to understand. Then we go on. If you do not have this quality or right duty, we are acting as a responsible parent. A responsible human being, a responsible employer, employee, or a responsible child, even your duty towards your parent. And you do not have the right understanding to perform your right duty towards all of your loved one, humanity, and those that have relationship with you and the environment, then you do not have the Dhamma. The one that has the Dhamma understand the form of mind's duty very well. Understand that? They will not violate nature's law. So these are the great qualities of the enlightened one, noble ones. Can follow that? Bear this in mind. Wow, good. Still got half an hour. I thought almost time already. So today I cover quite a lot. Good. Good news. That is why the Buddha say, Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yugani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. You know the meaning or not? Keep on chanting but never know the meaning. Those who are serious, they know. So you read the English translation and slowly assimilate it, reflect, contemplate. It will help you a lot. Because if you don't even know what are these things, then you take refuge in what? Understand or not? Means you didn't really study Dhamma. You study knowledge. You commit to memory. You only remember the word. Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. After that, ask you to explain. Cannot. So this one is very important. The meaning is, this order of the enlightened disciple of the Blessed One, namely the four pairs of beings, or the eight type of individual. Four pairs because there are four type of enlightened beings, the Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, and the Arahant, corresponding to the first, second, third, and fourth stage of sainthood. And each and every of this sainthood, there is the path and the friction. That's why four times two, the four pairs, or the eight type of individuals, they are worthy of offering, worthy of hospitality, worthy of gift, and they are worthy of reverential salutation. And these are incomparable field of merits in the world. That's why they are of a great blessing to the world. So this one, when you understand, when you pay respect, the merits is limitless. Then when you make offering to the same, give, then when you provide hospitality, all this has great merits. The field of merits is incomparable or immeasurable. So if you can have the faith and develop the refuge, you are cultivating the causes and conditions for you to constantly connect to the Triple Gem. Wherever you are, when you arise in any life, any civilization or any place, and any time. So these are the very important understanding. You have to constantly reflect and check yourself. If you want to be enlightened, do you have those noble qualities? That is, are you upright? Do you have the appropriate good conduct? Are you wise? Do you understand life? Do you have the understanding of all the nature's law that governs life and existence? Then do you understand how to carry out your duty in accordance with this law? So when you reflect and inquire into all this, you become different. That's why the whole of cultivation is very simple if you understand. If you don't understand, it can be pretty difficult. It's like a maze. Very difficult to understand because people just don't know how to start. And most of them are very confused. That's why they become gullible. They just follow what people tell them. That's why method, technique, and teacher become very popular. First thing they ask you, what meditation you do? Vipassana or what? When you say not vipassana, they don't even want to listen. They are so attached to the word. Then he said, what method you use? Rising, falling, that's vipassana. Then I want to learn. Anapanasati, samatha, don't want to learn. But Buddha also used anapanasati. See, what the Buddha used become samatha. What the Buddha never used become vipassana. So these are the things that people who are gullible will get themselves into situation like that. Because they never inquire, they never investigate. Then the most gullible thing is, things that Buddha don't use become vipassana. That one I really cannot understand. Sometimes I just don't know what to do. If people can become so gullible, how to teach them? Understand? Because they don't investigate at all. They just want to have that belief. Because popularly accepted, people say, like stock market, where you heard the news, people say, then some tell you the horse mouth, which horse, don't know, whether the dark horse or the real horse. Okay, so far any question? Okay, maybe I finish this paragraph. Okay, so that is the part on cultivation, and I want you all to bear in mind. Hopefully you can go back and develop this understanding. It will help you to speed up your cultivation. Okay, now we will open for meditation reporting and Q&A. Anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any appropriate or relevant question, whatever question that is related to the teaching, the meditation, or understanding, like you can ask. You sure? Why is everybody so quiet? I already told you, don't be shy. Who is shy? Huh? Who is shy? Who is shy? Ah, read loudly. Ah, the thought is shy, not you, understand? Your nature is beautiful. Why you always, until now, still paise? Ah, yeah. Clang people understand, Hokkien or what? Your nature is beautiful, so whatever that arises, just be natural. Just inquire or ask, or report your meditation. If not, then what do you want me to share? Ah, yes. Christina, thank you for asking the question. See, at least that night, Christina volunteered. Then the answer come out very beautiful. Yeah. The question won by Christina. Good evening, Brother Teo. Just now, during meditation towards almost the end, I felt there's a very bright light from the Buddha Rupang over there. This one. This Buddha Rupang. Then I said, very good, and Sadhu. Then Christina said, there is very still here at the heart area, pointing to the heart area. I said, yes, I understand. Your heart is very still. And there is also a lot of calmness inside. Yeah, Christina said, I felt so calm. I feel so calm and peaceful. Then the flow of, before she can answer, I say, yeah, I know the flow of joy, right? He said, yeah, the joy. So when you train your mind very well, you will experience all this, the peacefulness, the stillness, the silence, and the joy. Then I continue to explain. These are very good mind state and sadhu to you. Very good, and thank you so much for sharing this, because this is what meditation can bring about. When you have developed the faith and the understanding, then you will know how to relax, silence your mind, and meditate with understanding. Then you will experience this stillness, this calmness, this inner peace and joy. When the mind is peaceful, quiet, and silent, and still, it's luminous. That's why it's bright. Then in this case, it's just like what she said. It's like she can see the brightness coming from the Buddha Rupang. This is possible because when your mind state in meditation has the faith, many things can manifest. So you have this understanding, it can bring forth the condition for you to have more faith. The only criteria is you are not attached to this so-called happening. You don't go and cling onto it and say, wow, this is special meditation. Meaning, I have got this special power. Meditation is not about developing psychic power. It's about cultivating wisdom and understanding. When the faith is there, the condition will arise. Then this phenomena can manifest, and it will give her more faith. See? This is more important, Anasana. Give you all more faith. And she can feel the stillness and calmness and tranquility and the joy deep within. And these are all very wholesome spiritual mind states. And most of them are connected with the enlightenment factor. Because when you have sati, which is mindfulness, it is the first enlightenment factor. Then when you are calm, peaceful, relaxed and silent, there is joy. Joy is piti, another enlightenment factor. Then there is clarity and you can start to understand many things. Then that faith becomes stronger. Then from there on, as she goes through life, she will understand. Because the moment she is mindful and heedful, she will start to understand how and why she suffered unnecessarily in the past because of self-delusion, because of the evil roots. These are the things she will see in her own form and mind in the midst of life as she cultivates the daily mindfulness. Because in the past, Christina went through a lot of difficult life experiences and situations. She went through life miserably. She confronted many of the First Noble Truth realities. Many of you may not know that, but those who know her, especially her classmate, they realize that she has changed so much. I spoke to two of them who came after she encouraged them to come to my Dhamma class. They say, wow, she has become so different ever since. That's why many rather remarkable things do happen to her. This sharing is to give you all faith. if you really have the faith, which is a spiritual faculty, then you will strive on your heedfulness to develop the understanding. You just relax and follow the instruction, especially today's meditation summary and instruction. Then you will become beautiful. That's why this book, read through it. I also don't know why, but the condition just arise. Then they just manifest. Today's sharing, you can get somebody to do it up, the transcript. Maybe not the whole talk. The first part is good enough. It is going to help many people because the whole of meditation was so clearly summarized inside there. These are the essential pointers. If you understand them and have faith to develop the spiritual faculties accordingly, your meditation will become very different. You will progress very fast because with this understanding, meditation will be like very easy and very simple. So for this, you all should thank the two volunteers, especially Sister Lily who is here. Then the other one is Punchy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And just like Christina's case, previously she was full of suffering because she was very heedless early on. Then how come she can just turn around like that? She is not a girl who meditates a lot because of her life situation. She only listened attentively to the Dhamma sharing. But because of her faith, she starts to realize how Dhamma has given her the opportunity to make a big difference to her life. And she saw how it had changed her subsequently, how it brings about positive condition for positive karma to ripen, and how all this positive mind state can give rise to positive condition to change her life for the better. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil good and purify her mind. And there was so much joy after that. A person with so much suffering, depression, sorrow and lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety and insecurity can just turn around and become so beautiful, so loving, so understanding, so full of joy and love within such a short time. This is not because she is very special or she has her good past and good cultivation. No, it was because she has this strong determination to bring about a change for the better to her own life. Not only to her own life, later on to many others too. When they have faith and when they are touched by the Dhamma, all these are possible. And I can tell you, many of the Kayamita have benefited from the Dhamma sharing and changed in a very great way for the better. And some of them have progressed very beautifully. That's why be patient and have faith. Your turn will come and every one of you is unique and special. Do not underestimate who you are, what you are, what your past has for you. When conditions arise and manifest, you can never believe what will happen, and you will be amazed at how fast it can happen. Wait till our next transcript book, the final summary of the Satipatthana Sutta, come out, and it will be even more amazing. I share a lot of other things apart from Satipatthana Sutta inside that transcript book, because there were conditions at that time to share them. So do read through them when the book is out. That is the yellow book. That brings me to this, which I almost forgot. There is a new transcript book with the title Emptiness, which has been printed about a month ago when Brother Sian and Sister Mifong were in the States. Now that they are back, so today you can have them. It's printed for free distribution by our Kayanamita funds. You can collect them on your way out if you want to. And do read through it because it is a very good book. You will understand very clearly the very important and rather penetrative teaching of the Buddha and those of the Heart Sutta's expression on emptiness. Many other related essential Dhamma are also explained inside there. You can go through them. The three types of seeing and the three levels of seeing are also described. He even explained to you clearly the empty nature of existence and the unreality of life, plus the three periods of time or the whole spectrum of time. consisting the past, present, and future of this tree, which is the reality. Then it also gives a lot of analogy and explanation as to how to develop this penetrative understanding to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, thereby enabling one to realize true emptiness. So if you have faith, you should spend some time slowly reading through this book. The content page is already so beautiful, it even explains to you what constitute the four ultimate dhammas of nature. Then what is anatta and self-delusion? Then it quotes to you Anisutta. This is a very important sutta. Then the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. These two sutta, you read through them mindfully, it can awaken you. It can make you understand a lot of things. Then you have the three stages or three levels of seeing, which are the mundane seeing, the direct seeing, and the transcendental seeing. Then the three phases of Dhamma, Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. Then there is a topic on understanding life, followed by question and answer. There are many other things too. So this is a very good book. It can help you develop a lot of understanding to complement the Green Book. In the Green Book, I only stress mainly on the understanding of who you are and what you are. That is already very good. And the penetrative teaching to understand who you are, what you are, and how to apply them are all mentioned there. So these two books, they complement each other, the green and the purple book. So remember to collect a copy if you don't have. If you want to give it to your friend you who have affinity, then if they are really sincere and want it, you can do so too. Then before I forget, you should also thank those Kayamita who has brought about the causes and conditions for this book to be printed, especially those who have contributed a lot of their time services towards getting this book done up. All these are the conditions for this Dhamma book to be printed for free distribution, and all Kayamita should rejoice with the wholesomeness, because our Kayamita Fund has sponsored the printing cost of this book. Hence, you are all also part of the wholesomeness. We printed a total of 800 copies at the cost of 1,001, and the bulk of it, Padmasuriya family has donated back the reimbursable sum to our Kayamita Fund. We should all rejoice with this wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This book, if I'm not wrong, Sister Padmasuri did the initial draft transcript for me to edit. That's why she was full of joy when she completed that draft transcript. After that clang talk on emptiness, she kept having that type of joy, and that was the reason why she approached me and requested, "Ratio, can I do the transcript for that talk?" I said, "Sadhu, and please go ahead." That's why she did it. And because of that, everything just fall into place and the book turned out so beautifully. This one, the English is better, rest assured. No more of those expressions like understand or not, isn't it, and can follow or not. All this colloquial English has been done away with. For this improvement, we should thank Sister Chui Hun for her major role in getting it done. So we should rejoice, sadhu, and thank her. We should also sadhu you all, because Kayamita Fund also donate towards this printing of this book. These are wholesomeness that can bring forth causes and conditions for you all to progress along the path of Dhamma, because in the preface and the introduction, I had helped you all make the aspiration already. So they are all there. You only need to have faith and rejoice. Then you will become part of the Kayamita group that has helped in the production of this transcript book. That's why Kayamita Force is very unique. This one you listen, eh? And because of the, that's why the Kayamita Force is very unique. And because of the Kayamita Fund, you all will move very fast without you all knowing it. That's why a lot of this condition and possibility, if you don't understand, it cannot come about. But because my nature understand, that's why in the very beginning when I started all this, I already had this Kayamita Fund in mind. And I set them in place to help you all. That's why, that was the reason why, whenever people wants to make offering or donation, I will say to them, no need, we don't need money. And if you want, you can donate to Kayamita Fund, because only our Kayamita Fund can do all this wholesomeness that I have planned for them. Like all these whiteboards and our Dharma sharing, writing materials, etc. Only Kayamita Fund can buy them. Even if you have money, you also cannot buy them. Then all these transcript books and printing of Dhamma notes and other Dhamma sharing materials are all donated by Kayamita Fund alone. Then we also do a lot of other wholesomeness on your behalf throughout the year. We donate to WAVE because they help donors perform a lot of Katina and oversee other wholesomeness all over the world. And we also donate to WAVE towards the printing of certain Dhamma books for free distribution that have benefited many people. We also donate to many other temples, way place and organization that carry out various other wholesome activity like Tsuji, Fo Kwang San, Ananda, Giri Hermitage, Wat Na Long, Cameron Highland, Sampo Temple, etc. Whenever there are conditions, we also donate to our own annual retreat fund, Achala's Retreat Fund, and other spiritual trips common fund. They may go to various spiritual places like Puthosan, Amesan, Uthaisan, Chihuasan, the four holy sites of India, and many other spiritual places. Whenever there are conditions, we will donate and make offering. Even to the Kampa Center Mangala Lodge of Brother Ko Lai Huat and his wife, Madam Bay, and to Sumiro's Way Place of Klang, we also offer to them some of our chanting and transcript books. So these are all very wholesome. Then together with your Kayamita's faith and cultivation, I can tell you, you all will receive a lot of wholesomeness and blessing. And then you all know how to invoke the power of merits and wholesomeness. You all will become very different, like your life is very blessed. Also, every hour, Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday class, including our Klang talk and whatever Dhamma session of ours, like our monthly house dana gathering, etc. When you come and listen and partake in any of this activity, the wholesomeness that arises beyond your imagination. Very few people can understand. If you have that spiritual faculty of sadha and you can listen attentively with the silent mind and the faith, you will benefit tremendously. That's what this meditation and understanding can bring about. It can really transform you radically to become a completely different person. You can become so beautiful, and you can also be a great blessing to many, not only to yourself and to your loved one, but also to all of humanity. And when the individual change, it will touch the rest, and you don't need a big number to be changed. You only need 1 or 2% to have this understanding and change, then the whole world will become different. So this is the beauty of having cultivated the true Dhamma. But all this will take place, all this will take time, because it will evolve according to nature's condition. Oh, we still got time. The Kayamita force, the collective consciousness, has recently evolved very fast. Last year was already fast enough when my nature felt it coming last year. He had this understanding that the Dhamma will flourish within the Kayamita that year onward, and really, it happened. Then after that, this year, 2015, when it started, there were conditions for certain very strange things to arise, especially those seeking the Bodhisattva way. That's why our first sharing of this year's 2015 class was a private one and not a formal one, where it was open to all. It was only open to those who have the condition, those who wrote to me and those whom my nature feel has the condition. So they were all invited to attend that sharing on how to cultivate the Bodhisattva way and how to develop the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva on the 1st January 2015. Ever since then, all this just happened. All the teaching just come about
they are all different. That's why they ask for Diamond Sutta and the six platforms, six Patriarch Platform Sutta to be taught. And all these teachings are for higher beings, for great beings, and the true cultivators of the way. They are not meant for ordinary beings. So all these conditions come about because there are conditions for them to arise. And my nature was full of joy because it can see and sense the sign which manifested in such a dramatic way. So much so that many Kayamitas, they just move and they just become very different. That gave my nature, that gives this nature of mine a lot of joy. That's why I'm not tired when I share all this. Even when I don't see progress, I'm also not unhappy. I will still share, but it's all up to you, not me, because of your life. You have to decide how you want to live your life. If you are serious about life, this is the best condition to be in. That's why I always remind Kayamita, do not miss this window. This is the most beautiful window. If you miss this window, then like what is stated in all the opening statement of verse for commencing the sutta that we recite during the Heart Sutta and Diamond Sutta and the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta classes, then you will have to wait very long for the next window. Because this type of teaching is very rare, even for 500 million eons, you may not come across. But the moment you come across it, after you have heard it, seen it, and if you still don't determine to phantom it, then it's still your choice. That window, if you miss, means you miss. It can be a long, long wait before you can have another opportunity or condition like this again. Because this window is very unique, and the sasana is not going to last too long. Maybe another 2,000 or 2,000 plus years more. That's all. Then how many times can you take rebirth during this balance of sasana to come back to our present civilization where the sasana is still around? And then the rest we can continue later. Page 39 we stop.
Okay. 3 more minutes. Anybody got any question? You can rejoice if you want to. That's why you have to read through this book. This book can help you a lot. Then all the other earlier transcript books, they are also very important. Spend time to understand them. Then you will progress very fast. The faith is very important. Sada, leading to the virya. Then just develop sati. The daily mindfulness, most important. Do more bowing. Then our coming retreat is very conducive. Just relax, silent, do your duty. I saw so many people volunteer for duty, very good. You do it mindfully, understand? Do it with understanding. Then you will have a lot of joy. Any question or anything you want to make clear or clarify? Don't have.
Good evening. Yeah. Whether this question suddenly came to me, is just now the four pairs of Arya, the eight individual types, is divided into Magga and Pala,
path
and friction. But I seldom listen. There are very, I think, seldom and never, not really heard before. What actually is path? What actually is friction? Very few people explain.
Okay, very good.
For us.
I will explain to you. You see, I think the other book, was it the yellow book? I mentioned in one of the books. I think the yellow one. You see, as you cultivate, you remember the seven stages of purification, Visuddhimagga? There is one path, purification of path and non-path. Do you know what that one is? When you are on the path, means before the cessation happens. When you're on the path, the enlightenment factor keep on arising. Then you know you're on the path. If it's just all the meditative, fantastic mind state, forget about it. If the enlightenment factor are not there, and you think you are already going to be enlightened, then I use the word God bless you. Because the enlightenment factor, the first one is what? Sati. Then Dhamma Vichaya. Then when it stand up to investigation, then the virya is there. Understand? Then when the virya is there, the next one is what? Piti. Then Pasati. Understand? If Pasati, the silent mind also not there, you think you can become enlightened or not? That is the daily mindfulness. Until it accumulate into samadhi, then you see things as they are, develop the wisdom, then the last enlightenment factor of equanimity only arise, born of wisdom, not born of condition state. Then when you see all this enlightenment factor there, then your daily mindfulness become very different. Then the moment cessation come, you reach friction. Understand? Understand? Where you're on the path means you have a glimpse of the thing. Yeah. And that glimpse can come very fast. That's why maga and pala. So maga means glimpse initially, especially for sainthood. Then you enter the path already. The factor of enlightenment keep on arising. The seven factor of enlightenment. Then friction means the whole thing stabilizes already. Understand? Like you are sotapan. Sakaya diti become very stable, very clear already. And then friction. You reach friction. Second stage, also same. Second stage, you will move on to the other two factors. What are the other two? Sensual desire and ill will, anger. Especially anger, aversion. So, all this, you will come to know. Because when it's rooted out, it becomes very stable. Then when you are on the path, you are very clear. Because after you clear that, you will move to the next stage. But if you have done it in the past, I realize you pass through all this very fast. You just go through it. Then you straight away go back to your past cultivation, the level. You will go through all these stages very fast. The moment you clear the first one and get connected, then you inherit, then all this will come back to you. Then, of course, different people experience it differently. Then they have this like gradual enlightenment or sudden enlightenment. These are words people use. Gradual means as you cultivate, it slowly, slowly reach the appropriate condition, then all of a sudden it happens, and then it becomes sudden. But initially you have to cultivate, you have to develop the causes and conditions, you have to understand how to realize all this. That's why you must have the understanding of the vows or aspiration. If you don't know how to use power of merits, very difficult. You will make mistakes along the way. Because the whole Buddha Dhamma is very difficult to have the correct understanding. Even Noble Eightfold Path, every path factor is so complicated and complex when you don't understand. Even the word sati, you can't even get that understood and right. How to cultivate? The whole lot of cultivation needs sati, the first enlightenment factor, and sati also you don't understand, then how to cultivate? Without sati, how to have heedfulness? Without sati, how to do daily mindfulness? four foundation of mindfulness. Without sati, how to note your mental intention, how to be aware of all those things. That's why you need sati. Sati is key, the first enlightenment factor. And without sati, you cannot be heedful. The heedless eye is if dead. All these are very clearly stated in the teaching and the sutta. So path is, when you're on the path, the factor of enlightenment keep on arising, then it will give you a glimpse, then you're on the path. Means you must have gone through cessation, even for a glimpse. Most of the sainthood one is just a moment, cessation. Then after that, they understand already. Then the friction is when that three factor that they severe become very stable. Means they realize friction. They become very stable in their understanding. Yeah. Even that glimpse, you already have it, but not stable yet. Means when people ask you, you know what the thing is, but you cannot explain to people or share to people or tell people. Then you cannot describe it. But later on, as it stabilizes, you can. It's just like when you go through life, a lot of incidents when people ask you after you become very experienced, hey, how you learn all this? How you understand? What is your answer? From experience. But you, if they ask you, hey, can teach me? You cannot. You have not stabilized it. But after you stabilize it already, you will know how to tell them systematically. What to avoid and all that. Means you have seen the whole thing. You have completed the whole thing. It's just like you are experienced, but not very experienced yet. You know certain things, but you cannot really guide or share with people. Because what you know is limited. Suitable for your own use. But the moment you have reached friction, very stable. You know the fruit, when it becomes fruit means what? Ripen already. It means fully flower, the friction of it. Like the phase three, Pativeda, third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You reap the fruit of your hard work. So by then, it's very stable already. Okay? Sadhu. Oi! 10:40, sorry. We better end, Okay, we'll do the sharing of merits. Then we end. Okay, sharing of merits with the Devas. Akasata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata camehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatakalena sasa sampati hetu cha pito bhavatu loko cha Raja Vavatu Dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. You make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
Thank you.